Welcome to the Claracy Radio Show and Podcast. I'm Elena, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation.
Oh, we're gonna have some fun today.
Let's talk about purpose. You know, sometimes you have to go deep so you can go high. So let's get into it. Let's talk about finding and maintaining fulfillment. Sugar, I'm not here for motivation. We need revelation. Let's talk about how to live abundantly. My prayer for you is the same for me. Claracy. Clearly I see. So, are you ready? All right, let's go. Hello, everyone. I am Elena, and welcome to the Claracy Podcast and Radio Show, where our conversations are always about finding fulfillment, identifying purpose, and just how to live an abundant life. So the purpose of Claracy, which is spelled C-L-A-R-I-S-E-E, a little hooked on phonics moment for y'all. The purpose of Claracy is to create content and conversations that help us to see ourselves, others, and God clear, so we can live the abundant, purpose-driven, fulfilled lives that we were created for. Now, God told me that every issue, mistake, problem, kerfluffle that I have had, that I created, was because I did not see myself, others, or Him clearly. It was a disconnect or a blind spot in one of those areas. So, Claracy was created to address that. I am on a mission to help clear up the blind spots of anyone who wants to go on this journey with me. So what we do is God brings up a topic that is a disconnect or a blind spot or just a revelation that we need to see clearly so that we can better move and act and be. And we have a conversation about it. That's, in a nutshell, is what we do. It's why we're here. So let's get to it. Oh, let me slow down before we do. Be sure to head to claracyblog.com and you can see all of the past and present Claracy content that's out there. There are blogs, there is music, there's merchandise, there's all the podcast episodes, all the radio show episodes, which, just so you know, are on the podcast. So if you ever miss anything, you can always rewind or refresh at the Claracy Podcast, and that can be accessed anywhere you find your podcast. All right, so let's get into today's conversation. So I want to have a conversation about understanding God's love language. So this is how God kicked it off to me, so I'll do the same for you. He said, I want to change the love you perceive and receive. He said, my love can transform you if you let it. And in that moment, I realized that I did not truly understand what love looked like from God. And it made me wonder, if I didn't understand His love, then I probably haven't fully received it either. And if I haven't fully received it, how can I possibly give it? I realized how much my perspective and expectation of love has been altered by my experience with love. But that's kind of out of order, isn't it? My expectation should feed my experience, not the other way around. And when our experience feeds our expectations, we just end up getting more of what we've had. And when what we've had is misaligned with what is actually pure love, when that's misaligned, then it means that our brokenness is driving our love journey. And that's not the way we want it to go. So when you look at your current perspective of love, my question is, what experiences have fed it? And what expectations has that then therefore created? Have you honestly ever experienced the love that God described? And if you have, was it with people? Was it with God? Or is it possible that your perspective of love is off? Well, if it is, God is coming to purify that perspective. So buckle up. We're going to have a crazy ride today. So this month, I got the revelation of, I got a revelation of God's love, and it changed the way that I saw myself. And so now I deeply want everyone to experience what I have, not just believing that God loves them, because that's where I was before. I believed that God loved me, but and I believe that he saved me, but I didn't experience his love daily. So as we continue this conversation, I want you to consider the answers to these questions. What is the love you want to experience? What is the love that you really desire? And is that desire born from a healed place? You see, the love that I wanted to experience from God, from friends, from family, or romantically, that has roots. My desire to be loved was correct, but my perspective of what love looked like changed based on how mature I was and honestly how healed I was. Because deliverance changes your perspective. So then the question becomes, in your current state, the love that you want, could you even recognize it if you saw it? You see, God loves us perfectly, but we don't see it perfectly, and we definitely don't experience it perfectly. So what perspective shifts do we need to make so that we can see and experience the love of God that is there? Well, first, we need to understand what love can look like from God, and then what love should look like from us. So that's where we will start with this conversation. There are three ways that I now see that God shows his love for me that I didn't see before. And I honestly feel like I often missed or misunderstood how he showed me his love in these three areas. So first up, the first area that God can show his love for us and does show his love for us is by being with us. It seems so simple. I think we often miss it, and we definitely often take it for granted. So before we dive into this point, I just want to one more time check in with you. How's your heart? You know, our hearts can get battered and bruised sometimes. Our journey to love and be loved has left some of us with walls around our heart, or with hearts that have just been damaged in many ways. Some of our perspectives of love are based on survival and dysfunction, but not the love that was designed for us. And I'm not just talking about struggle love or unbalanced love or manipulation disguised as love. Those are overt. We can all agree that those are out of lines, out of bounds, and we should not want them. We are in a constant state of discovering the depths of God's love, but I am concerned that some of us have stopped short. There's so much more God wants to reveal to us about his love and about himself, but so often we've settled for our limited perspective of love. So my question for you is, do you want more? For me, I could always see the evidence of God's like, but I often misunderstood the proof of his love. And I'm not just talking about him dying on the cross. Now, don't think I'm minimizing that, because I'm not. My current existence wouldn't be possible without it, but I think too many of us stop there. Honestly, I think some of us focus on the basics of provision. Like, he woke me up this morning. Ooh, started me on my way. He put a roof on my head and food on my table. And for some of us, that's a big deal. But for many of us, we just say those things when we have nothing better to say. We should have more impactful proof of God's love for us. God desires to show us his love in a personal way. He wants it for all of us. And if we're not experiencing his love in a personal, impactful way, it's because we're not perceiving or receiving it. Either way, it's happening. And we just aren't aware. Or there are things in our lives stopping us from receiving what God wants to give as far as his love. Either way, in my opinion, we're leaving money on the table and we're squandering the opportunity to experience a life-changing moment, to experience love in such an overwhelming way that changes and transforms us. So let me give you an example of what I mean. I had an encounter with Jesus that still blows my mind. I was sitting in a room full of people, and yet it felt like I was alone. Jesus was standing in front of me, and he smiled at me, and he grabbed my face, you know, where the hands are on either side of your cheeks, and it's just cupping your face. And he said, "I love you. I want you." And at that moment, I could feel the weight of every word he said, and it broke something inside of me. It was almost like there were walls around my heart that just shattered, that experiences that I had been holding on to, that in that moment, they just disappeared. I just let them go. It was like there was a deep breath I could finally take now that my heart was free of everything that had been holding it down. I felt the love, I felt the warmth, the peace, the joy, all of it was radiating inside of me and around me. I felt complete and beautiful and chosen and esteemed. And I wept. Yeah, I was just sitting there, just tears just running down my little face. I wept because it felt so great. And I had never experienced anything like it. And it was still in on the other side of it. It was like, I wept also because I knew that this was the love that God had been wanting me to experience for so long. And I had been desperately searching for this moment for so long. And I thought it could be found in acceptance from others or feeling valued or recognized or chosen by somebody's son. But I had given so much and I had never even felt a fraction of that before. I had given so much to feel loved. And all of this time, God was willing to freely give it. And I had paid so much and gotten so little until that moment. That's the type of moment I'm talking about. The type of moment that when you think about it, it still shakes you inside. It still affects you. The type of moment that changes and transforms how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself, and then how you move through life, because in that moment, deliverance takes place. That's how you know you have experienced God's love, because after that moment, there are things about you that just are not the same. All right. So on that note, let's take a break. And during this commercial break, this music break, I want you to think about that. Do you have the desire to experience a moment like that? And if you have experienced a moment like that, do you have the desire to experience more? There is more for you. And we trick ourselves into believing that there's not, but there is. And if you can believe that there is, do you desire it enough to go after it? All right, let's take a moment. Let's take a minute. Let's take a break. It shook me up so much, I'm fusing words together and creating new words. So let's take a minute. Let's take a break. And we'll be back after this. Okay, so we are back to the Clarcy Podcast and Radio Show. Now, today we are talking about understanding God's love language. Before the break, we dove into the first way God shows his love for us. And now, to be honest, these are things that I personally didn't really see before. I would miss and misunderstand them often. So I am excited to go on this revelational journey together. Wait, is revelational a word? If it isn't, I think it should be, but it sounds like a legitimate word to me. But anyway, if whoever's keeping count for who's voting for certain words, please put me down for revelational. Thank you. All right, so now let's get into the second way that God shows his love for us that we often misunderstand. And that way is by disciplining us. Now, I was the type of kid who did not like to get in trouble. If you told me that you were disappointed in me, it did worse damage to me than you whooping me. And honestly, anytime my parents lined us up for whoopings, my sisters would hate it because I would draw that thing out. Oh, I'm begging. I'm crying. I am delaying. I am asking for drinks of water. I'm doing all the things, all to avoid the pain, all to avoid what I saw as a painful experience, a painful lesson. And I often find out that I can very easily slip into being that kid again that wants to avoid feeling like I let someone down, wants to avoid the painful situation, wants to avoid being disciplined. And for so long, looking back on it, I put so much pressure on myself to do things right. It had to be right. My parents used to say that they never met a kid who wanted so badly to be good. That's how they described me. And it's true. And this thought process of being good, doing things right, it's caused me so much stress. It's caused me to so often delay myself or move prematurely, which ended up causing me stress and delaying myself. And when I think about it, the roots of it, it's because I didn't want to make a mistake, because a mistake equaled pain or embarrassment. I have often lived like the reality of who I was would let God down, and like I had to be good enough or I would be punished. Like he was waiting until I stepped out of line and I would be punished because, oh, you're not good enough. You gotta do things right. I think few of us, not to make you like me, but I have a sneaky suspicion that if you're listening, there's some similarity. Few of us really live in the reality of God's love. You see, every Christian I know, we know that Jesus died for us. But I think we forget that he lived for us too, and that he lives with us, and that he loves us. He did all of this because he loves us. Everything he has done, is doing, will do, is a motivation for his love for us and a benefit to us. It's so crazy for me to realize that in many ways, I felt like I wasn't good enough for God. But when you think God loves you, or when you're trying to believe he does, it's so easy to slip into trying to earn his love. And that becomes your expectation of what love costs. So let God free you from this today. His love costs us nothing, and he will love us regardless of if we do things right. Now our response to his love, that shows how much we value it. And y'all, honestly, my response was something that I had to deal with. You see, the other day I was reading the Bible during my devotional time, or really the time I just took to read the Bible, because any time can be devotional time. And the scripture, the passage rather, Proverbs 3, 11 through 12, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like, laid me out, Mayweather, Haymaker, whatever it's called, shot, took me out. And now this passage says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Now, for one, I'm not calling myself a man, so let's get that out of the way. But the revelation that hit me was when we choose the easy way, when we try to avoid pain, when we try to avoid discipline, we are despising God's love. If you like me and you don't like making mistakes or being wrong, then you may also be missing out on the benefits to discipline when that discipline is motivated by love. You see, we grow so much faster. We receive more blessings and we avoid being drugged by the struggle bus when we allow God to discipline us in the way He wants us. We have to trust His discipline. We have to trust that He loves us, and the whole point of it is His love for us and to benefit us. And if we trust that, then we find ourselves valuing discipline. And it doesn't become a bad thing anymore. It's actually a sign of His love. So one way I'm learning to lean into this is when I have the first inclination that God wants me to do or not do something, I try to go with it. It's as simple as that. Even if it seems like something small, if it's not turning on the TV and praying instead, or if it's repenting for something I should have never done in the first place, my goal now is to correct it quickly. Don't delay. Don't avoid. Don't try to get away from it, not be reminded of it, or get around it. Do it quickly. Respond to it as if it is love, not something that I need to avoid. It's not bad. So, I have learned that in the end, this is where I get to anyway. I know what it's like to avoid doing something God has told me to do, only to waste time or cause stress. Or I have to come back and finally do it anyway. I have been in that cycle so many times, and it is exhausting. If I'm going to have to end up doing it anyway, how much sense does it make to waste my own time by avoiding it? It doesn't. So now I want the journey that creates the most impact for me and for the kingdom, even if it's not the easiest way. I don't want easy, I want effective. I've heard it put this way. We all choose our heart. We choose our heart. It's either going to be hard to avoid it, or it's going to be hard to adjust to it. But we choose it. And now I want to choose the heart that ends up causing my growth. I want to choose the heart. I'd rather deal with the heart that challenges me to become excellent rather than dealing with the heart that causes me to struggle with being disobedient. And so you can choose your heart, but I've made my choice. All right, now the third and the last way we'll talk about of God showing His love for us that we often miss or misunderstand. And by we, I mean me, unless you choose to include yourself with me. If you want to leave me lonely, that's fine too. So the third way is by commissioning us, by allowing us to take a place in His kingdom and draw others in. A brother of mine, spiritual brother, not biological, just half sisters, he recently said, God chose you to bring something new into this world through. Think about that. God entrusted you with something that this world has never seen. Your unique mix of personalities, skills, gifts, and talents is one of a kind and intentionally given to you, all for the purpose of impacting the world in the way only you can. That's mind-blowing. And once you really think about it, your gifts and talents are proof that God will invest in His children. That nugget came from my uncle. And when he said it, ooh, it was so good to me. But what is our response to the gifts we carry?
We learn our abilities, but do we learn their purpose? Do you know why you're giving these gifts and what you're supposed to do with them? The willingness to investigate the purpose of your gifts, it shows how much you value them. So asking God the purpose of your gifts and keeping yourself focused on listening until you get the answer, that protects the gifts from being haphazardly used. And it gives the strategy for you to be effective. And it also creates the impact that you want to have in the world. But you've got to be willing to ask and actually use the gifts however God directs you to. Whether we see the benefit of using the gift for us shouldn't matter. Whether we see the impact shouldn't matter. Whether we get the recognition, whether we want to actually use it in this way shouldn't really matter. None of it matters. When we truly see that God loves us enough to invest in us, we should have no problem investing our gifts in others, even if we don't see the way it benefits us. Now think on that. Your gifts, your talents, all the things that you do, all the things that you are, do you understand the purpose of how they are meant to be used? And do you understand the purpose of how they're meant to be used in this season? Because it changes. Y'all, I've always loved to read. I've always loved to write. And when I had to start writing the Clearcy blog, it was a completely different way of using my gifts than I had ever thought about. And honestly, I didn't want to. This podcast was completely against it. Radio show, didn't ask for it. Because I knew I was good at speaking. But I didn't actually see that as a gift. So, as we go into this break, think on the things that you do well, and then the things you also see as a gift, and think of, are you using them? Have you even asked God how everything that He has put in you could be used and should be used? All right, that's enough for now. I'll see you in a minute. All right, y'all. So we are back to the Clearcy Podcast and Radio Show. Now, today we are talking about understanding God's love language. So we have covered the three ways that God shows His love for us that we often miss or misunderstand. Now, if you miss those, then you can always listen from the beginning by finding the Clearcy Podcast on any podcast platform. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Now, since we've been talking about the ways that God shows His love for us, let's dive into the ways we can better show our love for Him. Now, y'all, I was a church kid from way back. I'm telling you, at every service, it seemed like almost every day of the week, choir practice, you know, the donation center services and all these things, always at church. So I very much was raised to understand service. All my life, I was taught how to serve God. But honestly, I don't think it was until this season of my life that I really understood how to seek Him. You see, it's when you learn how to seek Him with all of your heart that you actually find Him. That's what the Bible says. And so often, we are taught in church how to serve God by serving the church, but we don't always learn how to seek Him. So we end up having a head that understands service, but not a heart that understands seeking. And there's a difference. So the best way I can articulate the differences between a head for service and a heart for seeking is by using Mary and Martha in the Bible. Now, in a nutshell, Jesus stopped by to see them. They was hanging out. Martha in the kitchen, slaving away, preparing the good meal, making sure everything was together. Mary sitting down talking to him. Martha had an issue with that because she felt like Jesus should have told him, should have told Mary to help her. He didn't. He said, hey, she chose the right thing. So the thing is, Mary, Martha, oh, the M's are getting me. Martha understood the importance of service, and that's not bad. But the thing that she missed was there was something greater she could have had. A seeker's heart desires to know God, and that's the more important thing. You see, I can serve God and never know him. But if I seek to know him, I'll serve him by default. In my opinion, it's the more efficient way to get both done in one fell swoop. And I'm all about efficiency. The majority of my life, the focus has been on serving God at church, seeking him for answers or reading the Bible to know him. But that was the extent of my relationship. And honestly, there was always more of a depth, always something more that I wanted, because through all of those things, I didn't feel like I really knew him, because I was learning about him and I was doing things for him. But I cannot say that I was actually really experiencing him. The ways I've learned my parents, learned my friends, learned my family members, learned coworkers is through the experience, often daily experience of getting to know them, going through different situations with them. But it's the experience that brought the knowledge and the intimacy and the awareness of who they really were. And in all of my serving and all of these services and all of these things for all of these years, I can't say that I actually experienced God in a way where I felt like I truly, intimately knew him. But that's changed. You see, I think when we focus so much on service, we miss that it only can take our relationship so deep, because a servant doesn't experience the complete love of the master, but a son or daughter does. The intimate love, the intimate experience, it is something that is a privilege of being a child. So God desires for us to know him in multiple ways. A servant, yes, but that's not the only dimension we are meant to know him. We are also meant to know him like a child knows a father. So what is your perspective and experience of God? What has it been? Who is he really to you? And here's the main question. Is it enough? See, here's the thing. No revelation I have of God is ever enough. There's always more. There's always more he wants to show me of him, and he wants to be for me. There's always more. And since there's always more that God has to give, I stay grateful for what he's given me, but I maintain a hunger for more, and that sets me up to get more. So have you stopped seeking? Have you lost your hunger for more, or are you just satisfied with what you have? Have you assumed that what you've experienced is all that there is of God, or have you assumed that is all he wants to give to you? Because sometimes we make it seem like, oh yeah, God wants to give so-and-so more. The pastor, the church mother who's best friends with him. Oh, they are entitled, or they are privileged to have a deeper relationship, but he doesn't want to give it to me. That's a bold-faced lie. Lie from the pit of hell. Lie, truth ain't in it. But do you believe it? But do you want more? And are you willing to go after the more that you want? I think the thing that has tripped me up so often is that I misunderstood the process of loving God, how it was supposed to go. And I was one of those, if I couldn't do it right, sometimes I didn't want to do it at all. And so if I didn't see that I was executing it correctly, sometimes I settled for what I felt like I could do well, even when it came to loving God. You know, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart. And I believe that God put that first for a reason. For so long, I focused on loving God with my head, but not necessarily loving him with my heart. Now, I don't know all the reasons that God made the commandment first, but I have a sneaky suspicion that he wanted us to focus on the heart part. And he wanted us to prioritize loving him and be so intentional about loving him with all of our heart that it would help move us through the process and make the process easier of loving him. I believe that when you love someone, when you truly do, then you are willing to do for them out of your desire to want to give your best to them. I think we do ourselves a disservice when we expect it to always be easy for us to show our love to God in the way that he asked us to. But I tell you this, it's only hard when we try to do it ourselves. For so long, I've tried to love God without actually loving him. I have often gotten to the place where I felt like I was trying my best and it just wasn't good enough. I wanted to love him, but I had to admit that I didn't actually know how. But now I've gotten to the place where I am able to receive his love, and loving him became automatic when I did. We try to love him before we have received a heart to love him. We try to love him without asking him to help us love him. Yeah, the truth is we were created to love him. It's our default. If we don't, it's because distractions, brokenness, lies, dysfunction, and all of these things are impeding the connection between his heart and ours. So we've got to reset. And the beautiful thing is, he knows we need his help to love him, and he gives it if we just ask. So I routinely ask God to give me the desire to seek him, because I know I can't do it by myself. I know I have to ask him to give me the hunger to know him. I heard my spiritual mother put it like this. She said, "Lord, make yourself real to me. Let me desire you more than anything else." But here's the thing about when you ask God to show you how to love him, or when you are seeking him, you have to maintain an atmosphere where you can receive his response. So you've got to maintain a lifestyle where communication flows and you are constantly staying aware of what God is saying and doing in your life. That's how you set yourself up to actually get the answer to the questions you're asking and actually find the person you're seeking. All right, so we're going to take one more break and then we'll be back. All right, so we are back to the Clarcy Podcast and Radio Show. Today, we are talking about understanding God's love language. So, quick recap. We have covered the three ways God shows his love for us that we often miss or misunderstand. And then we dove into the ways we can better show our love for him. Now, remember, you can always access every episode on the Clarcy Podcast if you need to refresh or rewind. So, find it on any podcast platform and subscribe. Now it's time for the wrap up. So to wrap all of this up, loving him, him loving us, the results of it. It's funny how maintaining our love connection with God can impact others. When you truly have a revelation of God's love, it changes the way you treat yourself, the treatment you accept, and how you handle other people. Your love is on full, so you don't have to operate with the desperateness that comes with being deficient. You don't settle for a pseudo love. You have the desire to raise your standard and wait for actual love. And you can freely give love because you know what it feels like to receive it. Those are some of the results that I have discovered, and I love it. So
let's look back on our journey. What has looking for love in the wrong places cost you? Or what is it costing you now? How has it changed your perspective or expectation of what normal and acceptable love looks like? I want you to be delivered and free to accept God's love and His standard for how you should love and be loved, and refuse to settle for anything less than that. Order and honor. That's what love looks like. Someone willing to do things in order and do things that honor God on behalf of you and on behalf of themselves. You are worth not taking a shortcut or cutting corners for. You are worth someone being willing to do things by heaven's order, marrying you before intimacy or living together, honoring you by not compromising your purity or commitment to God, freely blessing you without taking advantage of you, valuing who you are without altering you for their benefit. Romantic or platonic, there is a standard for how you should be handled. And as you learn them, require them. Understanding His love has helped me understand how valuable the life God has created for me is. I want to live excellently. I love Him differently and I show it differently, which means I show up in the world differently. My expectations of what's possible are different, and that affects what I go after and what I expect in return. If perfect love casts out all fears, then what is the result of understanding more about how God loves us? It's a fearless life. So if the love we're experiencing isn't aligned with God's definition of love, we have to ask ourselves, what in our love expectation is actually rooted in fear? God wants to clear some things out of you today, and we're starting with fear. So today, I want us to commit to refusing to settle in love, to examining our expectations of love, our articulation, and our experience of love, and seeing, does it align with the love God has described? And is any of it rooted in fear? And if it is, then we will ask God to deliver us from the spirit of fear that is holding us back and stopping us from experiencing and receiving the love that He has for us. We've got to purify, well, we've got to ask God to purify our perspective of love. And we've got to strive to do our best to live a life that honors that. We don't want to ask Him to clean it up and then we dirty it back up 2 seconds later. That doesn't make sense. So go back through some of the questions that I asked. Think on them and answer them. If you need to listen to this over, go to the Clarity Podcast so that we can work through this and clear up this blind spot, clear out these things that God wants to remove from us so we can receive and perceive His love. Because I'm telling you, it'll change your life. God wants to reveal to you how He loves you, and it's deeper and it's more impactful than you have ever realized, I have ever realized, we have ever realized. So I am excited to go on this journey of getting deeper and deeper into the revelation of God's love and experiencing it in the ways I have and then in deeper ways. It's never ending. So I want to hear about your journey. I want to hear about your revelations, your experience. I want to hear about your questions. I want to hear about it all. So you can always connect with me on any of the Clarity blog social media pages. There's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's Pinterest, there's Twitter. Wherever you are, I can be. Well, I can be in those places. I can't be everywhere. I'm not God. But I'm always at claritieblog.com. And so you can send a message there. You can comment on this blog post there or leave a review on this podcast episode. What I'm saying is get at me. I want to continue this conversation. If you have questions, ask me. I want to answer them. I want to pray with you. I want to experience this with you. And if you have topic suggestions for an upcoming blog or podcast or radio show episode, let me know that as well. So, in a nutshell, connect with me. We're on this journey together. We're in it together. And I am praying for you. And I love you, and God loves you, And my hope and my prayer is that you experience the revelation and the truth of that statement daily in deeper and deeper ways. All right. Talk soon.